Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to the...
We may have dug a little deep in the Prince vault on this one. I'm not going to lie. It's one of my favorite songs, though.
I don't have a microphone. Can I go home?
Can you turn her microphone on? Her buttons are not working in here, so to speak.
Here's what I will tell you.
Your microphone is still not working.
This is the universe saying I get to go home.
This is not how I want to start this Friday afternoon.
I'm out!
Q, can you automatically turn her microphone on in there, please? Before Scott loses his mind.
I'm out. I'm leaving.
Come on. We have no engineers in this building. We're the only three people here. Where are you going? Well, and don't say home.
Well, no, I'm just saying. I'm going to come over to your mic.
Well, there are four others.
We're doing a duet. And I'm going to say, I think this is the universe saying they don't understand why we're here today when no one else is working. I can sit across from you and you can interview me like I am a very interesting subject, which I am.
Okay. All right, Q, look at the microphone she's at now,
well,
please.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
It's good to hear you.
Yeah, it's so good to be here.
Good to hear your voice.
Thank you for having me.
The last time this happened, I about blew a gasket and the veins in my neck were popping out so far.
I feel great. I feel like this is a sign, a very important sign.
That you've worked too hard this
today
week?
Today should be a national holiday. Well, let's be honest. There's three people in the parking lot.
You, me, and Q.
That's it.
I know.
Yeah.
I went down and walked the second floor.
I kind of like sitting over here like a guest. I want to be a guest on your program. Ask me anything.
How much do you love me?
It is boundless, effortless, and unending.
How frequently do you lie?
Boundlessly.
And endlessly?
Endlessly mm-hmm. and never-endingly.
Okay.
How was your Christmas?
It was good. We had a nice time. The problem is, and I hope my mom's not listening. You've been to her...
Yes.
...her townhouse, condo, whatever you want to call it. It's relatively small. And then you try to pack in my family and my brother's family.
Yeah.
And let's just say that... when you did that interview with my mom a handful of years ago, one of the greatest gifts you ever gave me, by the way, you did a legacy recording mm-hmm. on my mom. That TV room, den, whatever you want to call it, where you interviewed her has...
Very small.
It's very small, but it has two glass doors that close.
Yes.
That has become the overwhelmed room.
Oh, it's a safe space.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself in there quite a bit. On Wednesday.
Were we locking the doors?
We weren't locking them necessarily, but it was me, my sister-in-law, Joe, T, and my mom would be in the overwhelmed room more often than not.
Might I suggest, we have an entertainment space in our building. You could find a different space that would be your holiday home base. That's what we did. The kids all came over. We had the best time. Watched Elf. We do that every single holiday on Christmas
Eve. Great movie. It's a great Christmas movie.
Did gifts, and we had a poker party. I always like to include the children with gambling during the holiday season.
Raising them right.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's how we celebrate the season with Texas Hold'em.
But it was good. It was fine. It's loud. There's a lot of games being played. The cousins get along great, but they're very loud.
Yep.
And it's just, for somebody who, you know, is more of an introvert than not, and who likes to spend a lot of time by himself, it just gets to be too much.
Yeah.
And
missing the Wheel of Fortune, were we?
We were, and yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We missed the Wheel of Fortune.
So we have so much to talk about today. I don't even know where to begin. My head is going squirrel. We will get to the Chiefs game and one of the announcers calling us cheaters on the live broadcast, which I missed live. We watched that entire game. If you miss this, we will play it for you. One of the announcers calls us cheaters. That happened. There's also a story in the stack about...
Well, the picture does make it look like his foot was past the line.
Oh, good Lord. There's also a story in the stack about the documentary that I made fun of I swore I would not watch it. I didn't understand why a serial felony bank robber is getting this kind of attention. I am the first to admit that I was wrong. The Amazon Prime documentary about serial felony armed bank robber.
Alleged.
No, he's been convicted.
Oh, has he been convicted?
Xavier Babadar is a must watch. It is a complicated watch, but it is a must watch. It is extremely well done.
I will tell you this.
I called you this morning, and I go, what are you doing? You've got to watch this.
At 10:50 this morning, you told me to go on Prime and to watch Chiefaholic. Or Chiefsaholic. And I was like, really?
I know it. I didn't want to watch it either.
I've got laundry to do. I've got a bed to make. I have a lunch to make. I've got so many things I could do other than watch Chiefsaholic. Here's what I'll say. And we'll talk about this after 2:30. It doesn't suck. And I was shocked.
The first documentary, I can't even believe there's two, but the first documentary was terrible. They had no one who knew him. They didn't have anything on it. They had a girl who once knew a girl who like went out on a date with him. And it was just terrible.
Yeah.
Amazon Prime's crew somehow got in with him after his arrest during one of the Chiefs away games. They literally are embedded with Chiefsaholic.
By Chiefs games, you mean the last Super Bowl.
Well, it was prior to that. You know, he had a string of bank robberies, we now know.
Yeah.
Mostly during the away games when he was traveling on the road. And what he would do is go to the away games, turn off his phone 30 minutes before he got to his bank robbing destination, rob the bank, go 30 minutes outside, turn his phone back on, and then go to the game. And it's one of those documentaries that makes you ask, like, how well do you really know someone that you think you know, as and forget the super fan stuff, but how well does anyone really know anyone? And the answer in this case is not at all. No one knew him, period, until his arrest. And every single thing he ever said online was a lie. All of it.
There were a lot of people who knew him as Chiefsaholic who didn't even know his real name.
Didn't even know his name. Because when he came up missing, a.k.a. in jail, people were like, oh my God, we're worried about him. Where is he? Do you know his name? Like, that's crazy, Scott, that we put people up on this pedestal based on a Twitter account and their shared hatred toward the Raiders. I mean, really, and I will say this, the mental health component to what is going on, you cannot excuse the bank robberies, nor would I or do I. And they do a good job of bringing one of the victims in who had the gun pointed right at her. Mm-hmm. The felony armed bank robbery destroys people's lives, period. Sure. The people that were on the other side of that gun.
I agree.
And so I don't want people to think I'm excusing this, but he clearly is not right in the head. That's number one. Was clearly raised by a woman who I believe you will watch this and come away with only one conclusion. There's some severe mental health stuff going on. You know, they're living out of their car. They're living in filth. They, even though he's winning this money and going to the casinos and doing all
winning money with stolen money.
Yes. And always robbing Peter to pay Paul. There's this line where he says, I just need to win this. It's a very uncomfortable look at a gambling addict that is so far gone.
That was during the Super Bowl.
Oh, when he says that. Mm-hmm. You know, at the point that you are robbing banks to fuel your addiction, but you get to see his reaction during a game. And I'll tell you this, if you're sitting in a bar next to someone or you're next to my mother, God help you, when the Chiefs are on, people can get rowdy, like, what are you doing? Go, ref, you suck, like all that stuff.
Yep.
When you're watching a gambling addict watch a game, in that real time, that snapshot of time, it's disturbing.
Well, there was, and again, we'll get back to this at 2:30, because I did find this documentary quite fascinating, and him despicable.
Oh, he's immature. He's
a douche.
That is correct.
He is a complete DB, but it was fascinating watching him watch the Super Bowl, where he turns to the camera at one point and says, should have placed that bet.
Yep.
Should have placed that bet. That's it, not that the player caught the ball or that they scored a touchdown. Dang it. Should have placed that bet.
I just think it's very rare that you see Because gambling addicts talk about their wins. You know what you never hear them talk about?
Loss.
Their losses.
Yeah.
So yes, you won 100 grand, but does the world know that you're down 1.5 million? It's very uncomfortable to watch. It's a lens that I don't think you're going to like, you know, reflecting back on our city.
And yes.
He's crazy.
After 2:30, I also do want to talk about, because you said, you know, I don't want to talk about super fans. I do. Because there is an underbelly of Chiefs Kingdom where these people...
They're all in text threads together? I mean, it's...
You got to have a screw loose.
I don't think they all have a screw loose. I think he did. And this documentary shows you, gives you a little peek into... I'm just going to just lay it out there. There's a scene that includes urine in a bag, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
But
this is a different level. Are they mentally ill, Scott?
Well, yes. The Chiefs female superfan who has the Johnny on the spot in her backyard that is decked out.
That is passion.
Like the Chiefs.
That is passion.
You have a Johnny on the spot in your backyard called Johnny Casey.
I know. That is passion.
That's not passion. That's gross.
Well, at least she has an appropriate receptacle for
it's
the biological
a bathroom
break.
In your home, not a Johnny on the spot in your backyard. When we get back, a legend in Kansas City radio hanging up his microphone tomorrow. He joins us live in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. 41 years on the radio in Kansas City. His name is synonymous with lawn care, home improvement, and tomorrow... At 10 o'clock on this very radio station, he hangs up his microphone. Joining us on the KMBZ hotline is the one and only, the legend. I hope he doesn't mind me calling him that. Toby Tobin. Hello, Toby.
I don't know about legend.
Legendary.
Oh, I do. Come on now. Well, that is a long time to be on the air, Toby. Congratulations, truly.
Well, thank you. It's interesting. The show was started by my dad in 1963.
Wow.
And back in 1963, he was on 610, and they were news talk, and he was on 6 to 7 in the morning, and Monday through Friday. Monday through Wednesday, he did gardening and home care. Thursday, he did hunting and fishing, and then back to gardening on Friday. And I did the show with Dad every Friday. And Dad sometimes would take off on Wednesday, and he'd be out fishing, and I'd do the show on Wednesday. Dad came down with cancer in 1982, in March, and he was a couple years earlier. They went from news talk to country music, but Dad's had such a big audience, listenership, they kept Dad, but they moved him to 5 to 6 in the morning, from 6 to 7 to 5 to 6. So there for a couple years on Friday and on a Wednesday, EJ and I'd be doing 5 to 6 in the morning, and we were in our second, third, and fourth year of our lawn care business. And so getting up at 3 in the morning wasn't too much fun.
I bet.
Came down with cancer in March. I'm doing the radio show. We're doing a radio show Monday through Friday, and getting up at 3 every morning and going to work after the show and getting home at 7, 7:30 at night. It was hard. Dad passed in September 22nd. And there was an article in the Kansas City Star that Toby Tobin was going to continue on with the show. And I wasn't planning on continuing on with the show. It was just too hard a life with doing our lawn care business too. And I left them a note that I would not be carrying on with the show. And they called that afternoon and said, we'd like to talk to you for a little bit about it. And I said, okay. But I left work and told EJ, well, I'm not going to be doing the show, so don't worry about that. Went there and talked to them. And we went, I don't know, probably about 45 minutes of them talking about the show and everything. Oh, and they said, oh, and by the way, we're not going to pay you as much as your dad because you're not worth it. And I thought, what? I'm not worth it. The ratings were the same, and I still have the same sponsors. And I thought, would you jerks, I'll show you. I'll continue the show on, and then I'm going to move it to another station.
and is that when you went to KMBZ?
Yeah, and that, well, what happened, this is September, in actually early October, and I did the show for a waiting period, and in January I started putting out feelings of moving the show, and I wanted to go to KMEZ, our lawn care company, advertised on KMEZ, and they had started, they were all music, but they had started, they had Noon to One, Marshall Safer, the psychologist, on, and 6 to 7 was Walt Bodine. Walt Bodine was amazing. I loved him. And I thought, well, I'd be 5 to 6 in the morning, so that would work pretty good. And I, the salesperson at KMEZ, I talked with him. I said, I'd like to leave the show to KMEZ and see if you can get me in. And this is like in early February. And he said, well, they're going to know. They'd like to have you, but nobody would talk with me. And it was the last, it was the second week in March. I got so upset with the station, I quit on air on a Wednesday morning. I said, this is it. I hope by next Monday I will be on a AM station. And when I got back to work, I had four messages, one from KMBZ, one from KFKF, one from KCMO, and 610, turn in your keys. I called Walt Blockman, president, general manager, and said, they wanted to talk with me. And I said, I'd love to talk with you. And he said, can you come in tomorrow? And I said, yeah. And went in, and then I started 5 to 6 in the morning on KMBZ in March of 83.
Yeah. Toby, I'm curious, when you're out and about, how often does your voice give you away? I'm guessing it happens all the time.
Quite a bit. I've got that bad a voice, I guess.
No, you do not.
Stop it.
And then do you say, yes, it's me? And then do they say, how come I can't grow hydrangeas?
Then I go through questions, and they'll say, you sound like Toby Tobin on the radio. And I said, oh, I do. And I said, all right, I'm Toby. And then we start talking.
Little known fact, I got my start reading the news on Toby Tobin's show.
No way.
Yes, you did.
In December of 1996.
Yes. And do you remember what I said about you?
You suck.
I said, you are awesome, and you're going to be big time in radio. So guess what?
That was 28 years ago.
Yeah, can you believe that? Time flies. Oh.
And by the way, I still have never planted a sweet gum tree in any of my yards.
That's good.
Worst tree to plant, is it a sweet gum? Or a silver maple? See, I listen.
Well, silver maple and red maple, and red maple cultivars. They're weak-wooded trees. They produce surface roots. They're a mess. The sweet gum problem with them, they're actually a pretty tree, is the sweet gum balls. They're a mess.
Yeah, they drop, and then you step on them, and you don't have feet.
And roll your ankle. I know, I agree.
Yeah, old people have fallen down and hurt themselves big time with the sweet gum balls.
What are you going to miss?
Yeah, what are you going to miss?
Well, I won't miss getting up at 4 in the morning, but I will miss the people. We have the neatest audience, the nicest people in the world. And my guests, Brother Mark is going to be taking over the show. And EJ and I will be going down occasionally. So
you'll still make guest appearances every once in a while?
Probably not.
Well, no. How are you going to get your let me help you with your gardening fix? Because I know, or are you tired of that, Toby? Because you've kind of earned the right to stop answering questions, but I know people want to ask.
Yeah. Mark will be able to take care of that.
Good.
And so your brother Mark is going to take over the show starting, what, a week from tomorrow?
Yeah, January 4th.
Awesome.
Okay.
It's the first Saturday, January.
Well, I know I can speak for all of Kansas City, and you know you have become, and I know you don't want to hear it, you don't want to admit it, but I think deep down inside you know it, you have become a legendary radio voice in this city. And people, you know, I mean, it's kind of like when you tune into the Royals and you hear Denny Matthews or something, and it brings you back to being younger and, you know, maybe driving around in the car with your dad going to the lawn and garden store and you know, that's what people connect you with. And you have had such a profound impact on the radio community and the community at large. And again, I know you don't want to hear this. You are going to be sorely missed by so many people.
Well, I will miss them too. But I am 81, and it's time. I had bladder cancer, and luckily went to KU and had a year of treatments, and I'm free of cancer. But
good.
I've got a couple other health issues, so it's time. Brother Mark is 66 now, so he'll still have, hopefully, Brother Mark will do the show for 15 years, and his son would love to do the radio show, and then it's continued on. It would be neat if the Tobin family had the show for 100 years.
Aww. Well, and I will say this in closing, Toby. You mentioned your dad and how he started the show back in the 1950s, and I'm sure you know this. You may not see it very often. There is a gigantic picture of your dad in a back room at a radio station. I presume it was WDAF years and years ago with two other guys. He's sitting on a couch. There's a pool stick in there somewhere. I don't know what was going on. Your dad is still remembered in this very building.
Yep. That's a neat picture.
And by the way, you look just like him.
He's holding a fishing rod, and he's telling the other two guys, I can't remember the names right offhand right now, but he's telling them how they should be fishing and catch fish.
Well, Toby, you have earned your retirement. Whether you want to go fishing or just sit back and enjoy, you have earned it. And on behalf of all of our listeners, thank you. For all of your knowledge and friendship and expertise over the years.
Okay. Thank you.
And try not to cry tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
All right. We love you, man.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, Happy New Year. We love you, Toby. Be well.
Thank you.
Okay. Be safe. All right. The great, legendary Toby Tobin, his final show on KMBZ tomorrow from 6 to 10. So ABC News has put together, I love the year in review kind of things, and I know you're on year end review tonight on KCPT.
7:30, I believe, is year in review, and we'll I think rebroadcast a couple times over the weekend, and we look back at the stories that had the most impact on Kansas City, of course.
Yep.
But in the news business, we all get these lists of what was the biggest story of the year, and that is really code for no one is at work. We need to fill time. Especially on the television stations.
Stories are short.
Yeah, stories are short. Let's look back at the year that was 2024.
But I always find these fascinating.
Oh, I did too.
And so, like, CNN this whole week has been doing, at the end of each hour, it was like, you know, the biggest news stories of the year. Yesterday it was the biggest business stories of the year.
Yep.
Biggest sports stories of the year, biggest entertainment stories of the year, et cetera. And I actually find these to be fun, interesting, entertaining.
Yep.
Looks back, if you will, at the year that was. By the way, and we are in that weird week between Christmas and New Year's, and I just saw this on Facebook. It is the period between Christmas and New Year.
Yes.
No one knows what day it is.
Yep.
Time this week does not even exist.
All right, I see your meme, and I raise you this meme that talks about, you know, really the last few days, and it basically says, December 1st to 26th, festive. December 27th to 31st, confused, full of cheese, unsure of the day of week.
It's true, man. So anyway, ABC News compiled the biggest, most talked about news stories of 2024. Keep this in mind, outside of politics.
Okay.
So there, none of the assassination attempt against Donald Trump is not included. Obviously, it would be the election, Joe Biden dropping out, Kamala Harris coming in. All of them were left off.
As we would do on this program anyway, I might add.
That's right. And it's in chronological order. So it's not ranked from 10 to 1. Number one, because it occurred on January 5th of this year, the Alaska door plug incident.
Oh.
You remember when the door flew off?
The Boeing Alaska door plug incident.
That is correct. On a flight from Portland, Alaska Airlines Flight 1282 took off from Portland International Airport. A door plug blew out, sparking chaos on the plane as a gigantic hole opened on the side of the plane.
The first of many Boeing events of the year.
That is correct.
Was.
Also listed here, and again, in chronological order, the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse, which occurred on March 26th. When a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, collapsing the bridge and killing six construction workers who were filling potholes on the bridge. Two workers did survive. Jennifer and James Crumbly, the parents of the Michigan high school shooter Ethan Crumbly, sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison in April after each was found guilty of four counts of involuntary manslaughter in separate trials.
Yep.
Now we go to July, where a judge dismissed Alec Baldwin's Rust case on day three of his involuntary manslaughter trial for the fatal onset shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins.
Yep.
August, five charged in Matthew Perry's ketamine death. Or is it ketamine?
Ketamine.
Ketamine.
Mm-hmm.
They face up to 15 to 25 years in prison. September 4th, 14-year-old student Colt Gray is accused of opening fire at Appalachian High School in Georgia, killing two students and two teachers, and injuring several others. September 26th, Hurricanes Helene and Milton.
Milton.
Mm-hmm. Made landfall in Florida as a powerful Category 4 storm. As it moved north, it wreaked havoc in Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, and Tennessee. Those communities are still trying to recover. In September of this year, Sean Diddy Combs was arrested in New York City, charged with sex trafficking by force, transportation to engage in prostitution, and racketeering. Prosecutors allege he ran an enterprise that he engaged in sex trafficking, forced labor, kidnapping, arson, and other crimes. He called the activities freak-offs, allegedly. Oh, here's one. The Menendez brothers case comes back to light.
Yep.
The notorious Menendez brothers came back into the spotlight this year when Netflix released a scripted series, Monsters, and a documentary, both of which added momentum to Eric and Lau Menendez's push to be released from prison. The brothers, who were convicted in the 90s for the 1989 murders of their parents, have three possible paths to freedom. Their next court hearing is set for January. The Delphi trial, which we didn't really cover a lot on this program. In November, Delphi, Indiana resident Richard Allen was found guilty in the murders of two teenage girls, Abby Williams and Libby German, who were killed on a local hiking trail in 2017. He was sentenced to 130 years in prison. And last, certainly not least, the murder of the United Healthcare CEO in New York City, Brian Thompson.
If you had to look back at everything you just listed and pick one, and this is on the show tonight, they always ask, who is your person of the year? And you have to remember this news story or event or person of the year is not necessarily for good. It can also be that just had the biggest impact on your life or everyone's collective lives.
I need not remind you, Adolf Hitler was the Time Person of the Year twice.
Twice. So out of all of those stories, would you not agree the murder of a healthcare CEO that no one had ever heard his name, by the way, prior to that happening, or probably thought much about it, even if you've had a claim denied, that murder has to be at the top of the list for the most impactful story of the year.
And not because it's the most recent, so the most fresh, so the most fresh in our minds.
It changed the conversation.
Well, and it also threw into the public spectrum this idea, and I don't agree with it. In fact, I find it quite disgusting, that a killer can be a hero. Or somehow,
or that the word, however,
a living martyr
belongs somehow in the conversation about the murder. And I've pointed this out on several occasions. Name another time in recent history where someone was murdered, and the answer is, well, but.
Right.
You know, you can look at the death of Jeffrey Epstein or O.J. Simpson, like all of those things, and there's a big old asterisk with respect to that death. But I just don't remember another story where it is murder in cold blood in almost broad daylight on a busy street, and everyone goes, yeah, but.
Now, in fairness, if you live in North Carolina, if you live in Tennessee, obviously hurricanes Helene and Milton are number one. You and I are looking at these stories from 30,000 feet.
Yes, because sadly, after a hurricane or wildfire or any other natural disaster, it lasts in the news cycle a few days, and then on the national scale, those stories sadly go away.
Well, it's true. But I'm with you in the sense that, and I would put the Menendez brothers, only because I'm 53 years old and remember that case, I would put the mere possibility that these two men might soon go free, and I remember that case so vividly and well, I would put that at number two.
It would be in the top five for me. I don't know that it would be number two. Speaking of look back at your life, Scott, we went to the Disney exhibit at Union Station yesterday.
Well, how was it?
Run, do not walk. George, if you're listening, thank you. Run, do not walk, because it is there through, I believe, January 6th. You want to talk about an exhibit that you can go through and look back at every stage of your life through the lens of the Disney movies we all watched as children. I loved it. And yes, they have Star Wars memorabilia.
Which, by the way, we need to talk. Which one did you watch the other day?
Watched myself some Star Wars the other night.
Which one?
The first one, which I now understand to be the fourth one, which makes no sense. But they do have stormtrooper things there. They have lightsaber things there. Go look at it. I do want to say one more thing about this.
Did you like Star Wars?
This is not an exhibit for toddlers. I don't want people to hear Disney and think, oh, we're going to take the one-year-old.
What do you mean?
It's a museum exhibition look back at the life of Walt Disney. And I'm not saying don't take kids, but you're going to enjoy it far more as an adult because you forget how many hits colored our childhood, Scott.
So there's no live action?
No. Pete's dragon? Oh, my gosh. A dragon. Oh, a dragon. I swear I saw a dragon. It goes all the way back to the Rescuers and the cartoons we watched at age five.
Wow.
And for that, you will love it.
It's that good, huh?
It is that good.
Did you like Star Wars?
I did.
There are eight others.
Actually,
there are nine others if you include Rogue One.
I do not see me going down that road, but I'm glad that I watched it. I really am.
Will you be watching episode five, The Empire Strikes Back, which is the best of all of them?
I would watch that only because there were bits and pieces from the original that I do remember watching that at age eight or nine or however old we were when that came out. I will watch Empire Strikes Back, but it would end there with respect.
No disrespect taken.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Interesting. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Quentin Morris filling in today for Sam Stevie. He is back on Monday. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Hey, we have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, and that is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. My heart just sank into my chest.
I don't understand how this happens, but what is going on?
So the girls left this morning with their mom to go to Puerto Rico, which is not part of Mexico.
Right.
Inside joke from years ago when you were on The Price is Right.
Yes.
And so the other day, Shauna came over to the house to pick up some luggage from Maya, and I gave Shauna Sarah's passport. Mm-hmm. Maya has her passport at her apartment, whatever. And Shauna said, you do realize Puerto Rico's in the United States. And I said, I'm not dumb. She goes, we don't need the passport. And I said, almost prophetically.
When you travel internationally, you always take it, even if that territory belongs to the United States. When you're outside of the continental United States, you take it.
I take my passport no matter where I go. Just force of habit. And I handed the passport to Shauna, and I said, just in case something happens and you don't end up in Puerto Rico, take the passport.
You said that.
Those were my exact words.
Okay, so then during the break, you guys, he looks at me and he goes, what is going on?
Well, I got a notification that Sarah had landed, and I look, and it said Sarah has landed, and it has a little flag next to it. That was not the Puerto Rican flag. It was the Dominican Republic flag.
This is the most Dana thing that's ever happened to your family.
And I said, I wrote her immediately during the last commercial break. I said, what are you doing? And I looked at her on Life 360, and sure as hell, she's in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic.
Not Puerto Rico.
And I said, what are you doing in the Dominican Republic? She wrote back, LOL, change of plans. We got on the wrong flight. I go, please tell me you have your passport. She goes, I'm just kidding. There was congestion at San Juan, so we had to circle.
Okay.
And then had to land in the Dominican Republic to refuel, but it's good to be back because that's where Sarah wanted to go for her senior trip after she graduated.
Got it.
We went to the Dominican Republic.
Okay. Because when you first said to me, they got on the wrong flight, I said, you can't do that. When you go to board a plane, they scan your thing, and if they were going to the wrong destination, we're going bam bam. You're at right. the wrong gate, lady.
Plus, you would have needed your passport just to get on a flight like that.
So, are you trying to say then you don't want to talk about the plane that just went down because I'm obsessed with the story and I'd like to talk about?
Well, we could talk about it. I mean, they're safe. They're in the Dominican Republic. They're on the tarmac. It's getting refueled. They'll be on their way to Puerto Rico here in a little bit.
Okay. Sadly, a plane went down yesterday, I believe, with a little under 70 people on board. They are calling the pilots heroes. 29 people walked away from this crash.
Walked, but, yeah.
And if you go online and look at the photos of this plane that is in multiple pieces, the fuselage is in pieces.
Yeah.
I sent this story to Q and to Scott this morning, and I said, how does this happen where there is a catastrophic failure of some sort in the air, plane goes down, and somehow 29 people survive that wreckage?
38 did not. 38 died. An Azerbaijani airliner with 67 people on board crashed Wednesday near the Kakistani city of Aktau, killing 38 people, leaving 29 survivors. The Embraer, check that, the Embraer 190 was en route from the city of Baku to the Russian city of Grozny when it was diverted and attempted an emergency landing.
At first, there was a strange banging noise outside of the plane as it approached Grozny, Russia. Then, while one flight attendant was standing in the cabin, something hit his arm, cutting it. The passengers immediately sensed Scott something was wrong, began panicking. Some began praying. One passenger recalled thinking it was the last prayer of his life. Then silence. They are starting to talk about what happened, Scott. Again, 29 survivors in that plane. They had to have been seated in the back.
So they were. Most of them were, yes. And the pilots, as you mentioned, are being praised as heroes because they knew the plane was going down. I don't know anything about aviation other than I pay for my kid to go to college to be a pilot. The pilot or pilots did some sort of maneuver that is being hailed as heroic that allowed potentially 29 people on that plane, most in the back, to survive. Russia is claiming that this was a bird strike.
Okay, listen to this.
Nobody's buying that.
Data received from the plane shows that its vertical speed oscillated more than 100 times during the final 74 minutes of the flight. More than an hour, it was teeter-tottering.
And everybody in the back is pooping in their pants if they're still alive. That's correct. And it's that maneuver, this up and down with the nose of the plane that they're crediting with maybe saving that flight. Now, here's the problem. There are holes in the fuselage. I can never say that word.
Fuselage.
And a number of aviation and military experts on the cable news channels this morning were speculating, and again, it's just speculation,
that this was shot down.
This was a missile that is designed to explode right before it hits its target, sending out shrapnel, which is why there are so many holes in the outside of the fuselage.
They all say they heard a bang right before it happened.
And the experts that were on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News today were saying this was more likely than not a surface-to-air missile fired from Russia that is designed, created to explode right before it hits the target.
God.
Hence the holes, hence the flight attendant getting hit in the arm with something and automatically starts bleeding.
So someone is quoted in the New York Times article saying she started watching videos of the crash on the internet and could not believe anyone survived, yet her father did. When I heard his voice, I thought I was being deceived. There is no way he could have survived something like that, that somehow someone was faking his voice to comfort me. Yet, almost 30 people survived, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Texter. You're right. Remember MH17 that went down?
Yes.
Over Ukraine years ago? It is believed that the missile, if it was a missile, was the same kind of missile that brought down that flight. Now, Russia is also making the argument that if it wasn't a bird strike, it was because Ukraine had a number of drones near the city of Grozny The argument being, though, if this was an active war site, I heard a retired general say this morning, if the area around Grozny was an active war site and Ukraine had drones in the area, why was that airport even opened? Because they shut down all four airports in Moscow yesterday.
They have recovered the black boxes. Not that we're ever going to know exactly what happened, but they have been recovered. Does anyone else have access to that data? Is that shared? Is there some international airline shared black box system?
I think Russia would make sure that that did not happen.
Got it.
Would be my guess. We will review what we thought would be the worst documentary of all time. And I'm going to be honest, it didn't suck. Also, don't forget, we have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39 here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.